Now it's time for Inspirational Women and my guest, Heidi Byerly, an artist, writer, and adventurer. Her new book, Heidi Across America, has us joining her on an amazing adventure, a 3,000-mile bike trek across our vast country. This might not be our idea of what we can or want to do, but Heidi is clear this was her journey, and within that, her hope that we find our personal explorations, possibly on a bike, possibly in our own communities, or venturing further afield. The idea is to see our connections to and with each other, and Heidi joins us now to share more. Heidi Byerly, good morning. Thank you so greatly for being with us today.
Thank you so much, Kate. It's a delight to be here.
Well, I am in awe as I started to read and I thought about this woman taking this long, about 3,000-mile trek, wasn't it?
Yes.
On bike, solo bike trip across the country, something I can't imagine doing myself. And I was just in awe and wondered, how did she do this? So what a journey you had. And it looks like as you do the book tour coming up, you are going to be retracing some of those areas. But the question is, will it be on bike?
Partly it will be on bike. Yes. So I did the original journey. I rode my bike across the country and I did encounter some places, some opportunities, maybe, I don't know if there were opportunities really where a bike wasn't really feasible. So I did have to ride on some pilot cars when I was in Wyoming. And that was the first time that I took something other than a bicycle. And then when I started to get too hot in the center of the country, I also looked at some other opportunities to take other kinds of transportation, the train, particularly. So I think that having other kinds of transportation involved in a bike tour makes it more accessible to more people and is also a more realistic way of going about, especially with all the oddities of weather and climate change and things like that, can really interfere with, like, I've got to pedal the whole way. So my plan for the upcoming tour is that it is a slow travel. It does involve a bike. A bike is easier to deal with when traveling, when you're pedaling it, but I recognize that I might not be pedaling it all the time, all the ways, because, you know, timing for different things that I'm planning to show up to. But also, you know, I'm just kind of curious this time to be more open to how other kinds of transportation can enhance the experience.
Which is perhaps more realistic in a way for other solo journeyists or mm-hmm. or doing this as a group or as a family to think about maybe doing short jaunts or making a long excursion. But as you say, you know, using other kinds of transportation will make it perhaps more manageable, especially when you have age groups of kids involved in that.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And my partner right now prefers to travel doing bike tours where you like drive to a place and you show up and then you do different day trips from that place and you come back to it. And so you're still out on a daily basis and maybe not driving every day, but that a car definitely is an important way of having a good time and seeing places that might be a little difficult to get to.
Right. Oh, exactly. So the thing is, with Heidi Across America, we have the experience of really considering that we might do this. We could consider this. And you, in your consideration, you were motivated, of course, in part, you wanted to do a trek, but you also had a destination in mind. And it was a research trip along the way. So in that sense, It was a working trip.
It was a working trip, but I think as these things go, I was looking to change something in my life. I was in a down place and I had returned to school thinking that was going to kind of help pull me out of this funk that I was in, and it kind of made it worse. But it was also an opportunity because I had, Well, I was thinking like I had made the totally wrong decision in going back to school. And I got this email during final presentations of the first term that was like, oh, there's this historic roads conference in Washington, D.C. Let's go and experience this together. It was my mom who'd sent this message. And and I was like, that's nice. I don't know. But then I looked at the dates and they were in September. And I thought, well, school doesn't, sure. Like I could just ride across the country and meet you there. That sounds, and so that was the impetus of doing this. And it was a research journey. So I turned it into a project where I was going to study bicycle tourism and rural economic development while I was pedaling out to this conference. And when I started the journey, when I left, I realized that actually, I mean, the research was part of it, but the personal story, the personal experience I was having in, going out there and doing this thing was actually for me the more important part of it. And I wrote the research results early on, and now I finally had the opportunity to tell the story of what that personal experience was like of getting unstuck and learning to love me.
Which is, we can't even say how critically important that is. People might go through their life not even addressing that kind of question. So, doing it in the way that you did is just so phenomenal. I can't imagine riding a bike. So it's like that physical challenge. I thought there must be an easier way for me to do more self-exploration than that. But whatever it takes, I think this was really wonderful in so many ways. Yes, you're challenging yourself and what you experience, the people, the journey, pushing yourself. I'd have to walk a bike up a little hill, and here you are climbing, a 1500 feet elevation up a mountain. I guess that really does challenge yourself a lot.
Yeah, so well, I mean, that's the thing that works for me. I don't presume that it works for everybody. I feel like each of us has a way of encountering ourselves. Like that, travel lends well to that because you're getting out of your normal environment, your normal frame of reference. You're always carrying along yourself. Like you can't get rid of who you are. I think a lot of people go on journeys thinking they can somehow escape who they are. And I'm sure I had that. I'm gonna just run away from this part of me that isn't feeling well, and what happened for me was I just ran smack dab into that person. And part of my realization also, like I had to actually go further down. I had to push myself to more of a limit to break down the structures that were keeping me from seeing myself, and also keeping me from seeing other people. And when I was, and I don't recommend this to everybody, I don't actually recommend it to anybody, but it's just, my process. And when I was finally in this place where, I'm like, I basically like exhausted my resources for how to keep going, how to keep myself safe. And in that really low place, I finally understood that, there were all these people all around me. There were some in virtual space, and there were all the people that I was meeting on the road who were there, taking care of me, concerned for me, loving me. And I thought, oh, I'm not actually alone here. Like there's this community everywhere around me. And I also realized that nobody wants to wish that punishment on me. I'm putting it myself through it. And that was also when I realized, like, well, I wouldn't wish that on anybody. Why do I require it of myself? And that was, that was was it an epiphany? It's like a train wreck of an epiphany. But that was how I got to that place. So, like I said, I think travel is a really great way for people to get out of their usual environment, to have an encounter with themselves, or, as you encounter other people and cultures, it gives you an opportunity also, I think, to reflect on your own experience.
So as you were doing this self-exploration, with the intent of having that happen, but you probably couldn't imagine what the experiences of the people you would meet and how they were going to react. And it was beautiful, all the connections that you made. And that, along with having that real gentle journey, gentle, let's see, qualified gentle, gentle in the sense of, it's not hard on the environment to have, be taking a bicycle journey, however long it is. But you just found these wonderful experiences with people. And, that happened in 2010. So we jump ahead a decade and a half, and things are, people are probably somewhat similar, but we know that there's a lot of angst and stuff going on in the country. So it's still not that long ago. It really tells us something about people and how we might reach out and connect and find the way that we are so much more similar than we are different.
Absolutely. Yes, I'm aware that it's an interesting year to be headed across the country again, talking to people about America and Americanness and love. And this Heidi Across America really is a love story. It's my love story to America. And I'm interested in not talking to people about the things that divide us. Those things might come up, but I am really interested in the things that bring us together. And for me, the starting place in having those conversations are, what do you love about where you live? I asked that question of people a lot when I was out on my ride in 2010, and they just had some really surprising responses, things really that surprised me a lot when I asked them that question. And even, however somebody answers that question, I feel like that's an entree to further conversation about what makes people feel alive and what do they care about. And those are the things that really matter, that are connected to the heart. So.
Well, on that note, one of the really surprising ones was you're asking a woman what she liked about where she lived, and she said nothing. And I thought, how do you stay in a place for even a month or, well, no, but a year, and you see nothing in a year? All the seasons have gone by, you like nothing, and you stay there? That was rather stunning.
Yes, and I yes, that was one of the ones that was very surprising to me, that somebody would say that. And as I've been thinking more about what this story is about and what it means, and how other people might relate to it or not, her story in particular strikes me, as somebody who is feeling stuck in life and not really sure how to get out of that place. For me, as an adventurer, it's sort of second nature to, kind of fling myself out into the world and see what happens. And I know not everybody is like that, but I do really believe that everybody has that spark within them that they can ignite an idea, and move toward change. Sometimes change is just a very, very small, step to the right or step to the left or step forward, or sometimes it's even step backwards because the way forward is blocked. But that sends you on a different path and a different direction, and a little bit of energy invested in that change every day or whatever will help you get out. You don't necessarily need to go riding across the country, but I do believe that people have that within them, that they can that they can change. And my story, I feel like, is an example of, you know, one woman doing it in maybe an extreme way.
And it was significant for you when we think about that, making doing something that's slightly different. And the image that brings to mind is like when in archery, if you change the arrow just even a tiny fraction of the way when it goes outward, you then see over space, it just really goes a wide berth. So the same in our life, if we take one step this way, try something different, what a different world we might really be creating for ourselves. And that's what you did, because you really, as you say, you really got in touch with yourself. But here you are, you know, with this wonderful book, planning another journey to reconnect with people. And it makes a difference in your life, but it makes a difference in their lives too.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And I would say also, there was the change and transformation that I experienced when I was out on the ride, what I learned about myself. But I can also say that I had this idea when I went out on the ride. I was like, I really want to write a book. I don't know if this ride is going to be that. And I was very intentional about blogging daily. I had gone through a period where I hadn't been writing at all before I left on this journey. And I feel like that ride helped me. That was like my step to the side. And after the ride, I continued working at it. And I continued working at it. It took me a while. You know, now 14 years later, here's the book, but you know, it has arrived. So that was another kind of change. I was able to tap into this creative impulse that I had, a need that I wanted to tell a story. And that came about because of this ride. The ride itself wasn't directly related to this idea of me wanting to be an author or writer, but it's also part and parcel of how it happened.
Right. And you know what's really beautiful about that, Heidi, and good for us to consider, because we live in this quick fix, instant this and instant that society, to see that, you know, it took 14 years for the book to now be coming out into the world, having its birth, to see that it takes time, patience, that we don't have to see things happen then, well, the next year you should have had a book. There, you know, to take away any shoulds and musts and that kind of thing.
Yes, and I would also say it's not a linear process, right? Like there's lots of twists and turns, and many times I didn't think this was going to happen. Many times, but I kept working at it because some part of me really really wanted to and really needed to. And I also think it's funny, when I finished the ride the first time, I thought, I don't need to do this again. And now here I am, I have the book. And I'm like, well, why not? I'm going to try it again. But I'm going to do it in a different way. So.
In a different way. And why not? I think that speaks again to how we then have an experience. We make some decisions, make different choices, because we can see how we might do it differently for that time. It's not necessarily better. It's just different because the circumstances are different,
mm-hmm.
right?
Indeed.
Oh, so you've given us a lot to think about, to consider. And yes, so the book is coming out here very shortly, April 30th, but certainly available now. You can pre-order it at any of your favorite book sources, right, Heidi?
Absolutely. And HeidiAcrossAmerica.com also is a really easy place to find some links to ordering it and some other information about it and follow up on my tour and see where I'm going.
Yes. Well, that's where I was seeing this map. And I thought, oh, my gosh, I can't believe that this is really going to be happening. But as you said, in a different way. But I think to revisit those spots that were significant and see who you might encounter from those days and how lives have, wouldn't it be great to encounter that woman in that small town who hated where she lived? What had she done with her life?
Right. Yeah. So I'll have to put Walden, Colorado back on my list of places to go and see if I can find her. I hope she's not there, but
Right.
I would love to meet her, but I hope she's not there.
Well, maybe it'll be in a different place. She'll become aware of the book and show up somewhere else saying she moved. She finally had that inspiration at some point after your encounter that life needed to, you know, maybe she could do things differently, which it is for us too. Maybe I can do something differently.
Yes.
Right. Yes. So back to though thinking about that, when I started reading the book and saw that you had not ridden or taken even this a long bike ride, hadn't ridden really in months, and here you were already contemplating this long journey across the entire continent, it was just mind-boggling to me to... It wouldn't even dawn on me. So I commend you. And buying a new bike, you hadn't even ridden the bike before. There was so much that was just so amazing. And yet you did it. You made it happen.
I did. I think the first question in my mind was, is this feasible to actually pedal in 80 days across the country? And, you know, if... The logistics of such, I had done actually a bike tour down the Pacific coast between Eugene and San Francisco the year before. And that was my first tour of any sort. And I had a friend who gave me some advice, and he was like, well, you know, whether or not you can ride a long distance doesn't really matter if all you're doing is riding your bike all day. You can probably go a lot further than you thought. It's, you know, it's not a race, more or less. And he also encouraged me to have an adventure, to sleep under a bridge. And so I had these two things in mind during that trip that really helped me see, oh, I did this. And by the time I got to San Francisco, I was like, oh my goodness, I did that. I rode the whole way. and it really opened up my mind to like, it is possible. It's not such an impossible distance to cover under my own power. And I was also a regular bike commuter and I didn't have a car. And so as I was thinking about, is this possible to go across the country, I thought, well, why not? If that's all I'm spending my summer doing, like, surely I can do that. And it did take me, I did a little bit of prep before going out, but not really the kind of physical preparation I probably could have done to make it a little easier on myself. So the beginning of the trip was kind of its own training. Like I used the trip to get myself ready, which meant that the first week was kind of difficult. and it's also kind of like a bike tour. I feel like it's kind of like breaking in a pair of boots or something like that, that there's no way to really get your body used to spending like 10 hours a day biking, other than spending 10 hours a day biking, or maybe it wasn't that long. I can't remember how long I was out on. Some days it was that long.
Some of it was, right. Yes, exactly. Yeah. And to be fair, you did allow, which was great. You allowed yourself a day off so you could just rest, which your body needed. And it gave you time for connections with people within a community.
It absolutely did. Yes. Yeah. But rest days were really, really important. And part of the trip was I got to see the country all the time, but I wasn't necessarily sinking in with a specific place or specific people. And so the rest days, yes, were important to learn more about specific communities. And homestays, which I also used, were really wonderful ways also to connect with local people and find out, you know, ask them that question about what do they love about where they live, and just, have a conversation from there.
Is it fair to ask, was there a favorite place? Maybe there's probably multiple favorites.
Yeah, favorite places were varied. There were different things that were favorite about them. I really enjoyed a recommendation that somebody on the street had given me, on the road had given me about having pie at this little town in Missouri, Golden City, Missouri. It has, I think it's still there, Cookies Cafe. And I loved going there. There was just something very magical about that moment. And the pie was great. The people were warm and friendly. I was in a good mood that morning. And when I came outside, it was like the air kind of was golden, sparkly, as if it, like had a filter on it or something, a little sparkle filter. And I thought, well, that must be why they call it Golden City. It's kind of got this like golden sparkle to it. So that was a favorite place. So many favorite places, really. Wyoming is my home state where I grew up. And it's a favorite place, partly because it's kind of inhospitable, but it speaks to like some part of me that is outside of time, I think is part of why it's a favorite place. But the experience of being in the unpeopled center of the state, it's treeless, it's got a lot of sagebrush, and it has mountains. And it's got this enormous blue sky, but there's just nothing out there. And the feeling of expansiveness, I think, is almost impossible to put words to, the experience of just being out there forever. Probably people who travel on the ocean have a similar experience. That's what it feels like to me. It's like this terrestrial ocean being out in Wyoming. So those are, I'll give those as two, kind of two different.
Yes, kind of the bookends in a way of experience. And the other thing, though, is a woman traveling alone. I really had the sense that you were comfortable, that people were really more helpful along the way.
Absolutely. I generally think that I have a little more tolerance for being a woman alone. I had been a solo mountain climber before I became a solo bike rider, and it kind of comes naturally to me. But definitely being on a bike on the roads, I was much more exposed maybe to interactions with people and vehicles and other things that were maybe less safe feeling. And I had one moment maybe when there was a social interaction where I felt uncomfortable, felt concerned about my safety. And then there were also vehicles, drivers that made me feel uncomfortable at points. But for the most part, I was amazed at how people were almost wanting to give me things and help me out and just were so concerned for my safety. Was it going okay? Could they help? I'm sure they were interested too, but it was kind of a mix of like, wow, you're so crazy to be doing this. And what can I do to help? Like, how can I make it easier? So I really, yes, I was very surprised, actually, that part of it, how willing people were to show concern for me, come to my aid when I needed it, just help out however they could.
I think what you are really gifting us with, besides an amazing story of a great adventure, is an invitation to find that sort of thing for ourselves, to plan treks. It could be just a day long or part of a day, rather than some big excursion kind of thing or some big place, is just to find it around the simple community, find that cafe, take that walk in the park and see what happens. Or like in Wyoming, go out kind of into the open vastness and explore. I feel that that's what you're inviting us to really find for ourselves.
Well, and yes, I believe that you can have a slow travel experience be kind of like a micro experience where you're traveling around your neighborhood more mindful of what you're seeing and experiencing, or where you're choosing to hang out at the coffee shop or say hello to the people on the trail or at the waterfall. I don't know, wherever you happen to be. And then you could do a longer trip, like a day, like an overnight or 2 days, like where can you go and spend and explore? And like one of those things I was saying about getting outside of your comfort zone or your habitual patterns, I think getting getting away can be a helpful way of stimulating some of that self-reflection and prompting experiences that are unexpected, because that's part of how we learn and how we gain perspective. And then, yeah, and then you could go on longer trips too. Like, a week is also a beautiful length of time to go somewhere and sink in. It doesn't have to be an epic 3-month adventure, but I'm all about lately just like, what are the little micro travels that I can encounter on a daily basis to help nourish myself and, yes, stimulate some reflection as well, keep the gears turning.
Right. Well, that is what I feel you are gifting us with, along with this great book, Heidi, Across America. I encourage everyone to get a copy, read the experiences, because I think they really are great for our own introspection. And Heidi, I really appreciate your taking time with us this morning. Let's mention your website so people can get more information.
Great. That's HeidiAcrossAmerica.com. More information about the book and the tour and the events I have planned. If you're curious about where I'm going to be when, that's a great place to get information, and also some social links there where you can connect with me in other ways to have some conversation.
Wonderful. Well, again, Heidi Byerly, it's just been such a wonderful experience to connect with you. Thank you so greatly.
Thank you so much, Kate. What a wonderful thing to be here.
That brings us to the end of a very full hour of Inspirational Women with Heidi Byerly and Sunday Morning Magazine with Bob Keefe. I'm Kate Daniels, your host, and I greatly appreciate your sharing this hour with me and these special guests. For details you might have missed or information you'd like to know, please just send me an email, kated@warm1069.com, and I will get right back to you. Also, if you'd like to listen again or to share these important stories with your family and friends, find the podcast on our Warm 1069 webpage. Just click on the Listen tab, then Podcasts, then either of the show names, and then look for the guest names. I now wish you and your family a day of considering our planet home, the thing we can do to care for it, nurture it. Have a week of the same, and then please, plan to join me again next weekend for another hour of Sunday Morning Magazine and Inspirational Women on Warm 106.9. Good morning.